Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Here, there are some turkeys that have feathers, and there's some turkeys that have a lot of games, like guys, games, and beer.
Yeah! All right, so we are going to do our Turkey Day episode of Guys, Games, and Beer. Rob, what are the topics for tonight?
Tonight's topics are the turkeys, number one. Worst games or worst game trends of the year. You can even name a company if you'd really like, guys. And number two is games to play on Turkey Day with your non-game-playing family. I'm looking around for mine. I don't know where I put it.
I know you grabbed the prop.
I stole it, and I'm going to claim it as
my own.
It's just
a glass.
Did you pee on it?
It's a jar of KY.
I liked it.
Oh! Yeah, not those kind of games. Not those kind of games. All right, so who's going to start this out?
Well, first...
Oh, wait, we have a show beer.
Yes, a show beer, and I am the one to bring it this time. I went on a trip to the long-lost exotic lands of Durham, North Carolina, and found this beer. Mostly the company is called Burial Beer. I picked out mostly just because the cans looked cool. The guy at the shop, because it was just like a specialty beer shop, was like, oh, their company's really great. I'm like, I don't care. It looks pretty. Give it to me. So, yeah, we're going to try this out. It's a coconut brown, so it's going to be interesting to try.
I don't know, dude. I smell this, and I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm a little worried.
Farts. It smells like ass. I'm not going to lie to you. It smells like ass. All right. Smell it. Tell me what you think. All right. It smells like ass.
All right.
Let's try this.
Doesn't taste like butt.
Oh, it tastes like butt, but it tastes like... Yeah.
Coffee?
Yeah.
Coffee? A slight hint of coconut?
My first thought was... You know the crust when you like set a marshmallow on fire?
Yeah.
And then
eat
that?
Yeah.
That's what I feel like it tastes like.
I do taste the coconut.
I taste the coconut too. It's got that like coffee front end and you taste the coconut aftertaste.
I think this is one of the most fanciest we've ever sounded talking about a beer.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, I did. Holy crap. We actually sounded like we're talking about beer or something.
Could you grab me a Pabst too?
So on a side note, I got con plague at Board Game Geek Con down in Texas this weekend, and so I've been overdosing on vitamin C. So to make my own improvised rattler, because I need the vitamin C and I want the beer, I put them together like so, and bam, I have a rattler, which kind of tastes like Stiegel. It's actually pretty okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Hooray!
Yay. Okay, so guys, I gotta say, the Burial Beer, what do you think?
Well, when opening it didn't smell great, but I think it tastes really good.
I think it actually tastes quite good. It's a brown ale.
Did you just say tastes?
Tastes.
How's it taste? How are the testes taste?
You know something? I'm gonna give it a thumbs up, actually.
No, same here.
Yeah, it's unique. It's unique beer. I would not smell it before you drank it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Or pour it in a glass. It could be the cans.
Yeah, that's true.
It could be the cans.
Because one thing I did learn is this artwork is actually just plastic on over this.
So you could be smelling the plastic for
plastic
a while.
Plastic something, who knows?
Yeah, because the beer itself, it's got that coffee front end. It's got that.
It's dark, but not too dark.
No, it's not a little bitter.
A little sweet at the end.
Yeah. Overall, it's a drinkable beer.
I like it.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Me
good
too.
Good choice, Tyler. Cheers.
Yay!
I am the best at everything.
So that gets an official Guys, Games, and Beer thumbs up.
Yeah, but oddly enough, again, you can really taste the coconut. I mean, really taste the coconut. It's
I love coconut, so.
No, if you like coconut, this is the beer for you.
No, Tyler, you love nuts.
I love nuts and coconut. Dang.
All right, so.
Can't argue with that.
Let's go ahead and start our topic. We are going to talk about games or game trends of 2015 that have been turkeys. So, Larry E. does not want to start this out. Who wants to start this? Wow, everybody just shake your head no on me.
I'll go.
All right, Matt's up first.
Probably my biggest turkey. I don't know if that makes any sense as a statement when uttered out loud in this context. But my biggest turkey is probably DLC for a game that isn't complete. Like, they sell you a $60 game, and then they're like, but here's the season pass to finish the game. Because it's not a complete game without the extra crap. Whereas games like...
That sounds really brutal.
I'll segue after he's done.
Yeah, he can totally segue after I'm done. I mean, they're... Probably the biggest example that I know of, the biggest complaint I've heard about Battlefront is that people are saying that it doesn't feel complete until you get the DLC to get all the maps. I don't know about that personally, because I just am enjoying the game and I'll probably get all the DLC for it because it's a fun game, but like, that's a complaint that people have. They're releasing like broken or incomplete games and then using the DLC to finish that game at an extra cost. Why don't you just give me a full game and then give me extra shit for the DLC?
I don't mind it so much on a $20 game, but when you're talking the $60 game, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm right there. This, when Matt started talking, the first thing that came to mind is I haven't played too much of it, but Battlefront was the first thing that came to mind because I played it. And I'm like, there's four maps? What?
I was what, like, really?
Yeah, they're different planets, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, overall, more than that, yeah. I know there's more than that, but
five or six.
It just did feel very much like, oh.
I mean, Modern Warfare's all on the same planet, so, you know.
I don't know, I just felt like, like Matt said, there was a lot lacking there. So.
I didn't really get the whole one you bring up, and as far as the turkey... As far as the turkey thing, as Matt's talking about, it does sound like that would be a turkey. I didn't really get. I noticed a lot of pop-up of the season pass, and I didn't really get what that was about. Some of it seemed like, okay, well, if we release any downloadable content, you just get it, you know. But it sounded like maybe there's more happening than I realized.
Yeah, so I think my expectations were a little too high with Battlefront. Again, I got day one. I knew generally what it was going to be. Everything feels a little, just a bit short. Like, the Star Wars experience is there, and it is beautiful, and it feels like Star Wars, and it sounds like Star Wars, and you get that immediate, like, guttural glee that you get out of it. And it's so fun, and I think they did a good job at kind of making it a little more accessible. I personally don't like it as a choice. It's much more kind of slimmed down. It's not really a whole lot option-wise you can do. It's just like you have a set of weapons. A lot of them are very similar. It's all like hip-firing and stuff like that rather than, you know, crouching doesn't improve your accuracy, or you don't reload, there's overheating. They made it very pretty simple as a shooter, and that's good. You know, it's Star Wars. It's a different universe, but I think, like, at the end of the day, like, flying ships doesn't feel that cool. It's, you know, it's just like, all right, it's a little added tacked-on thing. The maps in general, there's a few great game modes. There's Imperial Walker, where you take down the AT-ATs, or even the drop zone. I think a lot of people didn't like that, but I think it's a cool mode that's a little more oriented towards smaller play. But a lot of the modes are pretty lame.
Did you buy any of the DLC?
I did not buy the season pass because they haven't really announced anything yet. They have four pieces of DLC they're gonna do.
Right.
Right off the bat, you know, they have them for sale, and they're like, "Oh, buy this," and they don't even announce anything that's going to be.
Right. So you spent 60, and now they're asking you to spend four more. Right.
Yeah, and it's like another $50 for the season pass, and that rate for this one right away.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
Yeah. So it's over $100, and it's like. Yeah, it's
jacking up the DLC price because they know that Star Wars fans will pay for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I haven't bought it. I just feel it's a good experience, and I've been playing it, and I've sunk a good maybe like 15, 20 hours into it.
So are you saying maybe gamers should have a rebellion?
If you want a really good Star Wars experience, you should go play Star Wars Galaxies on a private server. But at the end of the day, I feel like I was getting ready to buy this big plump turkey, and then I got turkey in a can.
It feels
like Star Wars. It looks like Star Wars, but at the end of the day, it just, you know.
It's just turkey and water in a can.
There's one contention point with what you said. Yeah, it feels like Star Wars, looks like Star Wars. For the most part, it sounds like Star Wars. The moment I heard the voice actor for Darth Vader, I wanted to shove a screwdriver into my ears because it sounds nothing like him, and it drove me mad the entire time.
Whew. Okay, I'm done. Okay. All right, so
What is your turkey? I mean, is that your turkey as well?
That was my most recent example. Again, when we started to pull in this episode, I was just immediately like, okay. And again, it wouldn't be so, you know, this has been for true Star Wars fans. You guys know that this has been a saga for 10 years. They were like, all right, it's going, it's coming, it's canceled. Maybe there's hush-hush noise. You saw the leaked beta footage. You saw starships, people like going in ground combat, then launching into the air. Looked absolutely beautiful. It was a mostly finished game. Then they scrapped that, rebuilt it from the ground up, and it's just a totally different experience. So, yeah, again, at the end of the day, DICE did a beautiful job. I'm not, what is there is, it's pretty great. The gameplay is pretty solid. I don't like the dumbed downness of it personally.
Yeah.
Because I love Hardline. I love Battlefield Hardline. That game was fucking fun. It had a lot to it. It was meaty. The gameplay was ridiculous. It reminded me of when I was a teenager sitting playing Battlefield 1942 and throwing explosives onto Jeeps. It was ridiculous, and it was fun, and that's what it should be. Star Wars was fun, but it just is stale.
A lot of Titanfall here.
Yeah, wait, do you think DICE dumbed it down, or do you think EA dumbed it down?
I don't know. DICE can do it. I know DICE has the know-how to make a brilliant game. I don't know what happened in the works to make it as it is right now.
What do you mean dumbed down?
So basically, the shooting mechanics are very simplified. Zooming in doesn't really give you better accuracy than hip firing. Crouching doesn't give you better accuracy. It's an arcadey shooter almost.
Right. So you're selling me on this.
No, they're also.
Yeah. My God, there's Quake.
There's progression, but like all of the guns are almost the same. You get like three types. You get your heavy rifles. You get your blaster rifles, and you get your pistols, and they mostly sound and feel the same.
Yep.
They, for the most part. And again, I know in the Star Wars universe, like, oh, hey, most people aren't going to know the difference between all these things, but I do. It makes a difference to me.
Always know the difference between a gauss rifle.
You could have put up these, and like, again, they stuck to the very, like, you get your A-wings, your Y-wings, your stuff like that. They didn't throw anything that wasn't in the movie. So I'm like, I understand they wanted to be for fans of the movie. I get that, and it feels very
strong. Everything else is scrapped.
No extended universe. Yeah.
Bastards.
So...
All right. Wait, was that a Disney thing?
Okay,
only one universe.
Your turkey, Tyler.
Okay. Mine actually, I mean, I still feel it, but I feel like it's getting better, which I think is a great sign. Mine is the focus completely on multiplayer. Everything needs to have multiplayer, which takes away a lot from the first player experience because it feels like, no, stop developing that. You need to finish and do more with the single player. Why? Stop. Great example, there's Fallout 4, The Witcher. I mean, there are games that are starting to change it up and starting to go, no, we don't need to have all this, like, multiplayer that's tacked on or, like, making it just as much as the single player. It's like, dude, stop!
Give me a good storyline. Give really me a good single player game.
I've learned a lot.
I love playing myself, Larry.
Good single player.
Fair enough.
Again, I was a sucker for, like, multiplayer for years, ever since, like, the LAN days of playing Xbox. But, like, then I realized, like, man, I can actually have some good single player experiences.
No, I mean, I still love multiplayer games. I love, like, huge. I like MMOs. I like, you know, first-person shooters, everything. But I just want more games with an in-depth story where you get pulled in like crazy.
So basically, the trend of the trend in 2015 of the MMOs.
Oh, it's been going on way longer than that.
Yeah, I know, but it's finally dying out.
Yeah,
it is. But this is the one thing that's bothered me for a long time. It's always been one of those things like, oh my god, this is annoying. So hopefully, it is on the way of changing. Don't be wrong. Like I said, I want games with multiplayers, and I think there are games that have great single player stories and have multiplayer, but. The focus, if you're making a single-player game, is to make it single-player and enjoyable.
Halo 3 was not bad for single and multi. Just going to put it out there.
That was a great example.
Halo 3 was an awesome game.
It really had both.
I played through both.
Thank you. Yeah. I did, too. It had a great single-player experience, but it also had a great multiplayer experience.
Oh, I just summoned the soul of Brian.
I know he did. Oh, my God. Kill me.
Why?
Kill me now.
Why would you do that?
Kill me now.
You know that Halo is an excellent...
All right, so how about you, Larry?
Just a real quick 15-second hilarious sidecar. We're slowly changing Brian's name. So it started Mikey accidentally called him with an I, and then Brian corrected him and got all butthurt about it. So then we started changing it to, like, Byron, then Ron, and then we're just, like, slowly changing it every couple of days by calling him the wrong name. We're going to get something, like, super vulgar, like Fuckface. We're just going to, like, step by step, and whatever it is going to stick. There we go.
Wow. So that's right.
Wow. We can make it sound Star Wars-y and like go with, instead of the Y, B-R-E-O-N. So instead of like France, Breon Fuckface. I like it. I think it sounds great.
That didn't sound bad.
I think
it
maybe
sounds
Brianna.
Like a dirty Star Wars character.
Star Wars character.
Can we do Brianna?
Brianna Fuckface?
Yeah.
All right.
That's not
pass it on to Larry. Larry.
I'm gonna do a different take on turkey.
Uh-oh.
Yes, what I'm gonna look at is my trend in gaming is turkey as a feast.
Really?
Yeah. I think there's so much great gaming out there that it's just a bounty of good games that you can get cheap. You can get board
games. We've got Contrarian Larry.
You can get, cheap independent games through Steam.
Well, thanks for fucking up the Christmas episode.
Well, I just think it kind of fits with the idea of having a huge harvest.
No, no.
You know, and I think there is a huge harvest, and I think that is a trend.
A cornucopia of games, if you will.
Well, and I
do really like the fact that, like, these holidays coming up are like, all right, I have extra time, so I can just be lazy and play video games.
Okay, so Larry, your cornucopia hole.
We're talking about hole.
Let's talk about your cornucopia.
Some of the corn in your hole.
Spewing out games. Which game is spewing out the best?
Well, I'll just talk about this one because I recently played it, a board game that I really enjoyed, and you wouldn't really necessarily... Turns and Taxis. Doesn't sound like a super sexy game.
No, it doesn't.
Won an award a few years ago. Travis probably already knows because he's up on the awards. What's the German award? The big German award.
At Essenspiel?
The Mein Kampf?
Yes, Essenspiel. It won 2006.
Okay.
And it's got a game mechanic that's a bit similar to Ticket to Ride, where you're...
For a second? It's like I said a few years ago. That's almost 10 years ago.
Larry, a few years ago.
It's a few years ago. You know, maybe it was 2009.
I was not able to drink in 2006.
That was a few years ago. Well, he was drinking, he just wasn't legal. And it uses kind of a card mechanics like Ticket to Ride, where you build sort of your resources and then you're able to place a route, and you're trying to basically establish postal routes between various German cities. Now, it is a historical game.
I was just going to say.
Because turns.
Kevin, where's Kevin?
Yeah, where's Kevin? This is the, what do they call it? Euro.
Yeah.
Trash.
Yes.
Euro gaming, yes.
Yeah, it's basically Turns and Taxi, apparently, according to the in-sleeve, were the families that created essentially the post office in Germany.
Right.
Back in the 1700s. And you're basically mimicking that experience in some ways, you know, creating routes between different cities and that, and basically the winner is the one who able to gather the most points or whatever. I did have a good time creating routes between Pilsner and Budweiser, so that was I was like, yeah, I'm in beer country, so I had to establish those routes first. So it does have enough play mechanics that are different from, I say it's like Ticket to Ride, but it's different enough that I think if you played Ticket to Ride and you played this, you wouldn't feel like you were playing the same game. It has enough.
The mechanics are similar, but not identical.
Yeah, you know. So that one really sticks out. I just played it, and you know.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, I think my game collection this year went from, I don't know, a few board games to probably like 30 board games.
Holy crap. So
and a lot of it are, you know, kickstarts that we picked up or stuff we picked up at game shows and stuff like that. So there's just so many games out there. It's incredible.
So you are going with the turkey not being a, oh my God, this sucks.
No.
A turkey, oh my God, this is a feast of goodness.
Turkey.
All right.
And that, for those of you who are tracking, is an achievement. Larry just hijacked the show with that.
All right.
And now for something completely different.
We'll go back to Rob. Rob, how about your turkey?
Oh, let me tell you. I got a turkey. It's a big turkey, too. The Nintendo Partnership Program for YouTubers. Hey, here's a great idea. How about I sign up for a partnership to give me rights that I already have in the United States to show a video that of a game I'm playing? Let's just take those rights and surrender them to frickin' Nintendo and give them some money. Well, give them part of my ad revenue. So my measly, ad revenue, so that I can advertise their games for them. Okay, F you, Nintendo. I will play them for me. Now the law says you got to actually prove that I'm breaking the law in order to get my video removed. So I think I'm going to play some fucking Mario the entire time, giving the middle finger to you for trying to screw over the American people and pretty much everybody else on the planet with your crappy partnership program. Yeah, no, stuff it, Nintendo. You suck. You're a turkey. You're stuffed. You're in the oven. You're fucking cooked.
I'd watch that video. It'd be very entertaining to see him going, oh, damn it!
So, yeah, that's my big turkey of the year.
That is a good turkey.
My second one is that Evolution game. It came out. No. Yeah. Hey, let's make an entire full-price game based on DLC. That's a great idea. Hey, Evolve. Wait, you want to turn left? Evolve, sorry, yeah. Evolve. Hey, you want to turn left? Let's make that DLC. Why the hell not? Hey, wait. You want some graphics with that? Let's make that a DLC. Yeah, it's another $10. Maybe you just want more than one character for this game you paid 60 mother effing bucks for. Yeah. Let's pay another $10. Like it is a I looked forward to this game. I guess that's why I'm frustrated. I would have happily bought it. Travis is always talking about how great his Monster Hunter is, and I'm like, be great! I got a Monster Hunter game for the PC. It's gonna be great. And then it came out, and like everything's a DLC on the damn thing. What? I want more than one map? Ah, DLC. All right, fine. It comes out with more.
Could
one
you
map,
have
but still.
Season-passed it?
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
Tell you what, it can stick it up my seasoned ass. How about that?
With a little sage.
Yeah, it's a
We're gonna make it good for Thanksgiving.
Quite nice.
For Thanksgiving, it's always good.
Wait, in the ass? Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So,
I
got two turkeys, okay? I'm going to do one trend and then one game, all right? So my trend is going to be microtransactions in games I bought, okay? Look, I didn't have a problem with microtransactions. If you are a freemium game, I understand. That is your business model. You need to make money. But look, if I buy the damn game and it's not cheap, I don't expect microtransactions so you can make more money off my ass during the game. Killing Floor 2. Really? Why do you think this was a good idea, okay? I didn't even mind your
deal. Basically, that lends itself right into the deals. The deals.
Okay.
No.
You pay $30 for Killing Floor 2?
I'm still going to call them out on that. They were already selling DLC, and we were buying DLC for extra money.
I would say, just like Killing Floor 1, like it's a pretty complete game, and it's still they're still putting out free content for it.
My argument here is it depends on what they actually are offering in microtransactions.
Yeah.
There are different things like customized skins, things like that. That I totally understand. That's fine. But if it's game-changing, that potentially goes into a gray area where it could be really
pay-to-win, you mean.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to be pay-to-win. They're already doing skins and so on in DLC, and I did not mind buying the DLC. I own DLC for the Killing Floor games because I like that DLC. It was cool to get the extra skins. It was cool to get the... They didn't change the game at all, but they made...
There were weapon packs.
But, I mean, they really didn't change it all that much.
It didn't change out balancing, though.
Exactly.
It did have some cool. I love Dr. T's machine gun.
Thank you. But the problem is the microtransactions are going to change the game. That's what they're looking at doing now.
Well, I mean, like, how are they doing it differently in Killing Floor 2 than they did in 1?
Again, basically, you'll be able to buy better weapons in microtransactions. I mean, much more powerful weapons that are going to make you a better character. And I don't know if it's going to balance it out as well. So we'll see. I mean,
to me, so far, it does look like, almost exactly like Killing Floor 1's model. And to be fair, like unlike a lot of other asshole developers, Killing Floor 2 has been on sale like 80 bajillion times.
That's true. And again, I do understand that.
Wait, is the game complete yet?
No.
Okay, don't DLC and say you're complete.
Yeah. That I'm not going to
say. Okay, but you already see then that's also part of the problem.
The game should be done before you DLC.
Right, and again, we've all bought the game. We've already laid down our cash on this game. Because, you're right, the game developers are great.
Tripwire, yeah.
We love their stuff. I mean, we really love their stuff. Don't. And again, I'm sorry. I saw it today. You guys are getting crucified on the forums for good reason. Don't do this.
Not until the game's done.
Thank you. When the finish the game and then do this. Rethink your thoughts. I mean, just go on the forums today, guys. You got crucified today.
Yeah, I know. I expose its business models and stuff. But you know what I envision? It's like, okay, you have a complete game, and everyone loved it. So then you develop an add-on chapter, and you know, because that way you don't have to rebuild the the engine or anything like that. You just add some maps and maybe a new storyline. Like, I think one of the best downloadable contents ever was Dragon Age Awakenings. Was a whole complete, you know, novelette to the original novel.
Right, but that's DLC, not microtransactions.
That was even before the age of DLC. That was an expansion pack. You remember expansion packs?
Oh yeah.
They were $30 and they were basically another whole game. Except
with the
cut
same
in
engine.
Half.
With the same engine. How cool is that? Right.
Which was still the Unreal Engine.
So look, if I buy a game, I don't really need that. Again, there are a billion free games that have microtransactions to make money on it. Don't do that with games you buy that you're paying. You want to keep doing DLC, I understand that. That's a way to make money, extra money on a game that already exists. Expansion packs, DLC, same difference. But don't start going with that if you're going to do that. In that case, then when you finish releasing the game, release it for free, and then make your money on that. Because that's where you will make your money. A lot of companies do, and that's fine if that's your business model. But don't make me pay twice for a game. I don't like that. It really bugs me. And my trend.
At least last time I played it, maybe someone will get me wrong, Travis. And maybe the newer version, but I think Guild Wars is an example that lets you, basically you pay for the game once, and then you get many of the same experiences that you would get from some of the other freemiums and other games, you know. So that, and I never paid anything more for that game, just the one price, and
Guild
I played
Wars
it online.
Guild Wars 2 is one of the best fucking MMOs, period.
Right, and you buy it, and it's yours, and you're done.
I have nothing but the weirdest hard-on for that.
So you hit it right.
Well-developed, yeah. You buy it once. It's really easy to group with your friends. You can scale down to their level just by wandering into their area. It's easy to share quests and hop into their storylines. And it's much more about adventuring than it is just grind quests. I mean, there are a lot of grind quests in there, but the world's beautiful. Classes are great. Guild Wars 2 is one of the best MMOs, period, hands down. And you can start playing it for free now. You don't even have to buy the base game, which is pretty great.
So going back to Larry's theme, the turkey being abundant, there's a game to go out and look for, Guild Wars 2. I'm going to single out a specific title for my turkey as well. And that one happens to be God Mode. If you haven't watched any of our fucking God Mode episodes, watch a God Mode episode.
Good, because neither have we.
And there's a reason, because we can't make one work. We have tried again and again. The game is visually beautiful. The gameplay itself doesn't look like it would be all that bad if you could actually play the game. But every time we try to play the game with any kind of group, more than two people, it crashes. It spawns you in random ass places. It just doesn't work. We want this game to work. It looks so good. We really want this game to work. Why don't you work, God Mode?
I personally think as a podcast, we've probably gotten our money out of it.
Yeah, well, this is the third episode where we've talked about God Mode.
We got so much material from God Mode.
Yeah, because you don't work.
There's been, three videos we've done on God Mode.
Let's Plays.
Yeah.
Have we done three Let's Plays?
Yeah.
I thought we only two.
Oh. One we didn't even, there was the Let's Fail.
Because, again, if you play the game with, one or two people, it seems to work okay. But as soon as you get, four or five, it just doesn't work. And we thought, maybe it's a compatibility issue with systems. So we tried multiple different systems on it. We thought, maybe it's because of the recording software we're using. So we shut that off in the background. No, you just don't play with more than a couple of players at one time is what the problem is. So that's my two turkeys.
That's pretty turkey Thomas.
Yeah. So I'm going with turkey under the classic definition of damn, this sucks.
Lovely. Speaking of, why don't you grab yourself a couple giblets? Guys, Games, and Beer will be back in a moment with a fabulous section entitled Games to Play with Your Family When They Don't Play Games. You're going to love it. So stay tuned.
I'm Drunken Larry, and you're watching G2B.
It's
so
Rob.
Let me paint you a scene, a little picture, if you will. It's Thanksgiving.
Happy trees.
You're with your lame-ass family who doesn't play games, and you want to play a game. And you're looking at them, and you're like, what can I play with them? Well, that's what this segment's all about. So you can play with your family and go, it's going to be great. Look at the silence there.
Wow. You know,
woohoo!
No, with that introduction, there is going to be silence, okay?
Man, you
that
crazy.
Was just a creepy introduction, okay?
Fucking crazy white
people. I'm thinking that's the kind of introduction where you find the family buried in a small, shallow grave down Rob's basement.
Yeah, it's over there.
Hi.
Man, we're in Rob's bitch, you ain't the crypt keeper?
All right, so Rob, the segment is...
James, play with your family on Turkey Day.
Yeah, that's a good topic, actually, because Turkey Day... You know, you eat the turkey, you maybe are watching football, but if you're not a football fan, Turkey Day can be kind of boring. I mean, the food's always good, but
assuming you don't want your family to go home.
Okay, if you want your family to go home, don't whip out these games we're about to tell you about, because these games, if you start playing these games, your family's going to stick around. I'm just
this one weird trick families hate.
That said, I have something that you can whip out at a family get-together that will get rid of them every time. Wait.
No.
So anyway, let's talk about the games.
All right, so you going to start this, Rob, or am I?
You can start it.
All right, well, I'm going to start this
because he bring props.
I actually brought props, that too. But the thing that I always find with family get-togethers or people who don't game normally, if you're getting together for something where you want to get somebody into gaming, board games are nice, but the problem with board games is there's often more complicated directions, and it's also setup time. You have to still have the room to set up a board, and sometimes at gatherings you just don't have a lot of room to set things up, especially if it's a gathering where there's a lot of food, a lot of people you don't know. I like card games for these kind of events because card games tend to be a little simpler. They can run age group-wise, age appropriate, and you need to take that into account. Is this game age appropriate for the group I'm with? So card games I also find...
So tip number one, know your audience.
Exactly. And if it's your family, you better know them. So I'm gonna whip out...
You're not my real dad.
I'm going to actually whip out two games...
I'm your father, Trev.
For games that you might want to try with your family. So we're going to start with one that we've played before on the show, and as I drop it on the floor here, Guillotine. So this is a guillotine. Let me go with this, all right? It's Guillotine. But if you're playing Guillotine, because the L's are silent, Guillotine, this is a fairly... It's fairly good for all ages. It says 12 and up. You could probably run a little bit younger on this. So basically, it's the French Revolution, and you are playing with people who are about to lose their head in the game. It's a really straightforward game. The rules are fairly simple. You can explain it to people in a very short time. Once they've played one round, they're going to get the hang of it. There is a bit of reading involved in the game, so you might want to, again, that's why they say ages 12 and up.
Most impressive, it's by Wizards of the Coast, and there are no expansions.
Yes, it is a Hasbro Wizards of the Coast game that actually is a standalone game. How cool is that? It's a great game to get your family playing. It's really good because you get to play against all the other players at the table.
Imagine yourself killing your family.
Yes, you can imagine that. Yeah, exactly. When you take the head of one of your family's cards, you will get great enjoyment out of that. The game's really good. It plays straightforward.
What's the player count on that one?
The player count on this one, I want to say, is up to six players. So
pretty beefy.
Right, 2 to 6. I would not play with two players, actually. I think you really want a larger group with this. I think it plays better.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I have played two players, and it is the biggest snore. You need at least three to have a bit of a dynamic.
I agree. So even though it says 2 to 6, I would go 3 to 6 on this game. You want good dynamics. And when you get larger crowds, you get better dynamics. Actually, this is one of the games that the more people that play it, I think the better the dynamics are. So when you play it closer to the 6, the dynamics are actually better than when you play it with the 3. Again, it says you can play with 2.
Three's good.
Yeah. It's a solid game with 3. they say you can play with two, but I agree with Larry. At two, it's a snore fest. You just don't have the dynamics you
have. Well, you know that if they have a card, they're going to lay it on you. There's no element of surprise there. It's just not very dramatic.
Right. Now, this game is not available yet. It'll
be on the 30th of this month. So by the time this posts, you'll be like a couple days away from release. I've got it pre-ordered.
Right. So if you've seen the last couple episodes of Guys Games
of
Beer.
Probably not this Thanksgiving, but next year or maybe Christmas.
Right. Maybe for Christmas. Conquest of the Stars. So this is something we just picked up at Game Hole. And we met the author of the game there, and Troy. And he, again...
This game
drove us to the floor.
Yeah, we literally cracked this one out on the floor and played it. It is that good.
We broke the note.
So here's the thing. It says 2 to 5. Actually, no, it does say 2 to 4 on this one. That's good. And it does say 12 plus. Again, I think this one can actually go a little bit lower. This one even more so than Guillotine because there's really no reading or not much reading involved in this. The cards are not overly complicated like they can be in Guillotine. Some of the cards in Guillotine get a little bit... convoluted as far as the rules go.
5 is a little hard for our group.
Yeah, that's true too. So it says 2 to 4 players. You can play with more.
Yeah, we did.
We did a 5-player game.
No problem.
And you had no problem. But it says 2 to 4. This one actually plays very well with, again, the 3 to 4 player.
Question, that was actually something I was going to ask about Guillotine. Is that something you could do more than 6? I don't know if there's a limit on the cards, but if we were to double up deck, like the... cards you have, would you be able to play more?
I think you'd find a rough after 6.
Yeah,
just card.
Right, I think. Right, I think. Right, the card base, the discard, the day count. There's so many things that involve in Guillotine. I think you really do max at 6.
I was just thinking family gatherings, Thanksgiving. There could be a lot more than 6 people, so that's what I was thinking. Like,
agreed. Both of these are better for smaller groups, but even at family gatherings. Here's the thing about these. Both of these games. There's not, you know, the storyline is the French Revolution and an imaginary star system, so you don't have to have a whole grip on science fiction or history to play these games.
Now, to your point, you may have 20, 30 people at your gathering, okay? But I think if you create a game space... where, you know, all right, this is the table that's sort of dedicated towards gaming, and then you give some introductions to maybe some of your more enterprising family members who might carry it forward when you leave, that you could probably play different, like, rounds of, or almost tournament kind of play with a smaller game that only has 4 or only has 6.
Right, where the winner gets to keep going and all the losers have to switch out with somebody new.
Right.
Exactly. So you can do that kind of thing with it. But both of these games are great games for people who really aren't, again, into gaming. The rules are simple enough. You can explain them in one round without them having to read any complicated rules.
There's a good chance in either one of these games that a new player could win if they're pretty bright, and I'm sure all your friends are bright.
Right. Both games are well balanced so that the mechanics balance out the hands, so no matter how you're dealt, nobody's going to end up being too powerful or too weak that they can't win it. There's enough randomness and enough poker elements in it that you really can play both games and win just fine. So, that being said, this game is so good that Rob is actually going to steal my copy and...
Yeah, play it at Turkey Day.
So
now to be fair, Tom actually did steal that copy. It was the demo copy at Game Hole Con.
That's true. Wait a minute.
Ran off with it.
So the copy. I wanted this copy so bad that I did make Troy actually sell this to me, and he actually wrote on the inside. This is the issue number 1 of the second edition of this game because it is that good of a game. You really want to get this game when it comes out. There are links on our website to it. Go to this guy's site and buy a copy. All right, so those are my again, card games in general are always easier. Not that board games aren't bad, but again, usually board game rules tend to be a little more involved. Card game rules tend to be simpler. Not all card games. There are card games that have way too many rules in them. Both of these have fairly simple rules.
Cribbage.
Again, thank you. No, I'm sorry. Cribbage is one of those games. The first time I learned to play Cribbage is like, what the fuck? No, wait, well, what the... You need a day to learn how to play cribbage. You do. I'm sorry. You really do.
You're not winning if you don't know.
Thank you. Yet, like Rob said, with both of these games, you can play the first time and still win the damn game. And you know something? That's really good for a game.
And that will sell it going forward if somebody who's just sat down plays it, they get excited. They start bragging about how, I've never even played this
game. And I won the game.
And I won. And other people start thinking, oh, maybe I can be that person. You
exactly.
know?
And thank you. That's exactly it. You know something? If you play with somebody, an experienced player, who beats you every time you play, you know, that kind of takes the fun out of playing the game. Both of these games, you can sit down, play for the first time, and beat it. And we did actually, the first time we played it, we beat the author of the game. Which kind of says volumes right there. He knows
how to only let you win.
No, he threw the box at us. So the game plays that well.
I think it came down when we sat down on the floor, and there's delightful pictures on Facebook of us sitting on the floor playing.
Right, yeah.
I think it came down to basically the last round, and it was who had the cards at that moment. Won the game. It was pretty much we were all in, and someone was going to win that round.
Except for me. That game I sucked.
Okay, so there was, yeah, so Tom was out.
I was out. Three of us. Oh my God, I was out.
Had the same amount of points, or pretty close to the same amount of points, and it was like, who was going to win that one? It was really close.
But again, that's the hallmark of a good card game. That no matter what where you're at in the game, you have that chance to come back. You have that chance to win.
He's Romulan.
You can't get screwed so badly in the beginning of the game that you're done for the game, and then you might as well just throw your hand in.
In fact, I actually was quite frustrated with the game to start with because I was like, oh, that's it. Everyone's ahead of me.
And you still came back.
And I still came back.
Yeah, Larry probably cheated.
But yeah. See, again, that's another thing. Probably. That's another good thing for card games that you're playing with people who aren't into gaming.
Cheating is called skill.
Again, if they get creamed so bad in the first few games, they will never play.
Notice how he didn't deny that he was cheating.
They will never play the game again. But if they have a chance, if for some reason they can actually come back, it makes it more enjoyable for the players.
And that's just a great game.
Also. All right. Next.
I actually have several answers here.
All right.
So one thing I do is, even though people...
To a question nobody asked. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm not you, Larry. I'm not a sports guy at all, but every Thanksgiving morning I go out and play football with my family and friends. And we play no matter what it is. We've been out there when it's below zero double digits. We'll be out there Thursday after all the snow melts, and it's literally a big mud bowl because we play at Lockwood. So literally in... And it's
okay,
great.
Hyperlocal Lockwood
is a park where they do like a lot of child sports and stuff like
Graceland.
That.
All Graceland. You can't goddamn rename a park just because you feel like it.
Right. I'm pretty sure they actually
can. Screw you, James Lockwood.
Another hyperlocal reference.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's really funny because there's us with.
So they originally named it after Elvis?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
It's on Graceland Boulevard.
I mean the whole. It's the goddamn apartments there are still called the Graceland Apartments.
Hyperlocal, guys.
Anyway, continue. It's just really funny because we have people next to us that play every year as well that play like for the Racine
Passion
Heat or whatever it is.
TV.
And like the Raiders, and they're all like with the ribbons and stuff. And then there's us drinking beer at halftime, getting drunk, and then going out to play more. It's really funny.
Okay, that is a good thing.
And it's fun. I mean, it's not in the. It's
so
fun
wait,
because
touch
I.
Or tackle?
Touch.
Okay. All
and
right.
The thing
so
is,
can play.
It's not serious at all. Like, we don't sit there line up or anything. It's just.
Appropriate or inappropriate?
Whichever you want.
Win says.
Depends on who's watching. if it's people, yes.
So it's fun because, like,
damn it, that was all terrible.
I'm not a sports guy. No, jack shit about sports, but I still have fun. Then the other thing is what we always do is we have a family gathering for Thanksgiving is ping pong. It is awesome.
Man. I love ping pong.
Where we gather at the relative's house, they have a ping pong table, and shit gets intense. Let me tell you, shit gets intense, especially after a few drinks.
Wait a minute, like Bruce Lee and the nunchuck intense?
Not with me. I just get angry and yell.
Oh.
But my cousins who are really good are just like, what the sh... How... I physics don't make sense in this world.
So are we, you what, your group is like the stand 15 feet behind the table kind of group?
A couple of them, yes, pretty much.
Wow.
That's intense stuff.
That is intense, dude.
No, I don't know how they do it. And then the other one, because I was telling these guys outside earlier, is since I can no longer be emotionally scarred by my family in any way, Cards Against Humanity, which I just bought for my mom, is another great game.
Yeah. Not necessarily the game you want to buy for your mom.
Okay? You know what? No, see, here's what... And this is kind of what I was kind of driving at when I mentioned about creating a gaming space. Mm-hmm. You have to understand what your space is like at whatever, wherever your event is. So... if you have a space that you can dedicate to, like, a game, and you set the game in the middle of the table, you give some instructions to a few people, maybe it catches fire, and it gets going. But a lot of times people don't have those kinds of spaces. They have incongruent spaces, let's say, where people are sitting over there, and they're sitting over here, and they're sitting over there. But Cards Against Humanity is the kind of thing where you're able to play in an odd space, yes. You know, which I think is really important to understand. If
same
you
thing,
want,
like
if you really want to like give a gaming experience to your guests, Cards Against Humanity would be a good one. That's if true. You don't have a like a good gaming space.
And that's why, like Tom was saying, card games are great for that.
Can you maybe, Larry, tell us how to make a good holiday wreath out of the games?
No.
No, that's not good.
No, so...
you should not make holiday wreaths out of any game ever.
The thing is, with my family...
so when did you get that for your mom?
Ooh, was it Mother's Day?
Oh, wait a minute! Wow!
By the way, this was on... For those of you not following along with Every Pack podcast, and I know it's not any of you, but...
Everybody
passes every episode. I know. So, I have talked about my experience during the summer vacation of pulling out Cards Against Humanity. And I know it seems like, oh, yeah, anybody that knows this, lots of inappropriate or whatever. But when you pull it out with a bunch of adults, including grandparents or parents or something like that, they will often have a really good time. Mm-hmm. My dad the next day told me, I'm never going to play that game again. It was far too fun, and it hurt.
The hurt part kind of makes me
that's
wonder.
Why it works for my family.
Well,
we don't have any
he
kids
laughed
anymore,
so hard.
Like underage
he
kids.
He laughs so hard.
The youngest ones are like 2, so like even if we're doing this around them, they'll have no idea what's going on, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to pay attention to
and they literally
activity.
Won't remember, so...
which is a good thing, probably, because otherwise...
or you just wait till they go to bed, and then everything's fine.
Oh, yeah,
They might pay attention. Remember that time that Tyler scared me when he was saying all this weird stuff, and...
Travis, how about you?
Okay, mine falls into a subcategory of games that you want to point guns at people with.
I love that game!
Family gathering.
Yeah,
like
right?
Socks.
Yeah, right. Oh wow, that was a very specific conversation reference.
Wow.
These games need a little more space. I would recommend a dedicated table for gaming. You're not going to get it in some incongruent space. The first one is a little more casual.
That
it's
really
called,
is important.
And we've
to know.
Talked about it on the show before. It's called Cashing Guns. The great part is it does up to 8 players. You can get a fair amount of people going in at once. It's a spectacle as well as a game, so people who even aren't playing it can enjoy it. Everybody gets a cool little foam gun. You get a circle full of loot piles, and basically you point your foam guns at everybody else in the circle, and you try to shoot people so they don't get loot, and try to dodge shots so you get loot yourself. So basically the game goes, there's 8 rounds. It's fairly quick to learn. It's the easiest game to learn, but it's very quick to learn. Once you play like 2 rounds of it, everybody knows how to play.
But he's right. The one thing about Cash and Guns is it's as fun to watch as it is to play.
Yes, yes.
That game will draw a crowd no matter where you play. So if you're playing with your family, members who can't play will stand around and watch you play it because it's just fun to watch people play it. The action going on with the pointing and the knocking figures over really draws people in.
I totally agree, but Rob, don't let your in-laws replace them with real guns.
That's where
the second one takes it up a notch, and this is I'd recommend if you've got like a little bit of an older crowd. I guess you can play with a bit of a younger crowd, like teenagers and stuff too. And this one's a lot more physical, so you're gonna need more space. It's called Slap 45. It's created by one of the co-creators of Cards Against Humanity, so it's right out of Chicago, local game. Absolutely love it. Basically, it's based off the principles of like Slapjack and Egyptian Rat Screw. You can do up to 6 players. Each player.
Rats?
Egyptian rat screw. Yeah. But everybody gets a base. Everybody gets a base, and they have a gang of six. They six gang members.
What about Egyptian camel screw?
Each time you get shot, you flip over a gang member, and the last person to have a gang standing wins. Three cards will pop up during the game, and you slap different things accordingly. Say if a revolver card comes out, you slap the gun to get a shot, and you have to point your hand like a gun at somebody else whoever you're shooting at. The person you're defending against, or trying to defend against your shot, has to dive into cover by slapping it. You can also deny people cover by slapping their base. To like make so everybody's kind of slapping around, slapping each other. It's a lot more physically aggressive game, and it's not for all families, but it is fun as hell, and it is always another one of those spectacle sport ones. So I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. If you have a family, again, teenage to 20-somethings, I'm shouting out to you. You guys are drinking crowd, a little more fun, and looking to get a little rowdy. Slab 45 is awesome.
So what you're saying is, you make sure everyone else is drinking, you just keep sipping on tonic water to fuck with them.
Yeah. My favorite thing is just always go for the opponent's bases, so they have to slap somewhere else. It's a lot of fun. So and then there are cards that make you move bases and stuff around like that too. But yeah, long story short, you're slapping different things on the table and pointing guns at each other with your hands.
So how is that one as far as learning curve? I mean, it's fairly easy to explain and get people going.
It's a little harder than cashing guns. Okay. It's not the hardest. There are advanced rules. I haven't really played yet because I haven't really played with a consistent group. I've just busted out a few times at parties after a few rounds of drinks, which is a lot more fun.
Obviously.
Oh, duh. But it's a little more difficult than cashing guns because you do multiple things at once. It's much more reactionary. Cashing guns is a lot step by step. Like, okay, you do this, then you wait, then you do this, then you wait. Slab 45 is a little more fast-paced, so.
Both good calls.
Okay, so, Matt, stop playing Fallout 4 and join the podcast again. So, the entire time we've been doing the podcast, Matt's playing Fallout 4.
To be fair, I have contributed.
Yes, but you're several still playing times. Fallout 4.
Also,
I can do both.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So,
no, that
thank
is his
you. Game. I'm going to ignore my family and play Fallout 4.
The rule is set now.
By the way, Larry has just left the room to pee. That is an achievement for those of you who are playing the drinking game.
Indeed it is. And I'm still here.
All right, so
playing Fallout 4.
Well, all right. So how about you? What about games you play with your families?
There are two. One that I'm probably going to try to break out more. I think I want to break out Exploding Kittens. It's a little smaller, but it's got a pretty easy rule set. It's very easy for someone to learn the rules in just a few minutes and jump in and start playing. I think it only does up to 5 players, maybe 6. So the games have to be a little smaller, but that's a fun one to pull out and play for people who haven't really done a lot of tabletop gaming or card gaming or anything like that. The one that I really like to pull out when family is around is, of course, Cards Against Humanity, because there's no joy like making your father, who is a minister, say fuck. So that's one of my favorites.
That is an uber achievement, actually.
I really enjoy that. So, you know.
No, both good calls, actually.
Yeah.
Again, Cards Against Humanity, again, and we've talked about it on the show, and I'm sure a lot of you know about it, but if you don't, another game to check out is Cards Against Humanity. It really is, one of the first rock stars of Kickstarter, and just a generally good, solid game. The mechanics are good. The gameplay is good. It's got a lot of leeway in it. Seems like it appeals to almost every crowd. So you can get pretty much anybody into playing it. There's tons of expansions available for it now. Definitely worth getting. All right, so I think we need to still cover Rob here. Larry has not covered his choices yet. But Larry kind of...
Not officially.
No, wait. Yeah, you did in the first half of the segment when we were talking about game turkeys.
No, I have a lot. Well, you know, I was already excited earlier.
Well, keep being excited.
Then I'm going to continue to be excited all about right. games and a trend to actually, I think there's actually, it's probably a resurgence actually of having games and things on holidays, because I think people were tending to be distracted elsewhere. But, you know, and I had already kind of mentioned that
And a little bit of Martha Stewart there, as Rob was pointing out, as far as knowing your game space and knowing your ages and stuff. You know, as a general rule, you probably want to keep most of your games to 30 minutes or, you know, at very minimum, sub an hour, unless you have a known dedicated group. But we started this talking about non-gamers, and non-gamers are not going to be that dedicated. You can usually capture them for a half hour. You might be able to push them to 40, 45. Once you start getting to a 60, they're going to start falling out on you. And
it sounds
now,
like every time we take Larry out to a bar.
Yeah. Nice. True enough. So I really know where I'm coming from on this. And, you know, and the thing about it is my the hope is that if you introduce them to these sort of some of these different games that maybe aren't the thing that everybody knows about, like poker or, you know, any the standard 52 deck game or even like Uno, you know, you start introducing them to some of the others, they might show up for some of your other longer running games. So you might be able to pull some people in that way long term. But so now, as far as like, there's a couple things I thought about as I've already talked about. So game space and time. Now, game space, incongruent game space. Now, a lot of the games we talked about are based at a table. Well, and except Cards Against Humanity. Well, another one, obviously, we've talked about a million times, is Werewolf, or some variant of Werewolf. Ooh. Is one of the perfect incongruent games where everybody can be sitting anywhere and they can be still be part of the game. So, you know, and you don't even need an official Werewolf deck, although they're delightful and fun. They got little pictures. Go get yourself. They're like sub $10. Hey, 20 if you really want to splurge, right?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, so just get yourself one of those. But the other thing I thought about is as far as incongruent spaces that, and there's a little bit of trivia style games. A lot of times you can have people sitting in different locations and stuff. And if you do like a You Don't Know Jack, if you set up You Don't Know Jack, there are versions where people use their phone to sort of ring in, and then you can just be sitting around a big TV.
That's actually a very good call. So for those of you who don't know, You Don't Know Jack now has a version which is available online. There's yeah.
Party Pack and Party Pack 2.
Thank you. Party Pack and Party Pack 2, which are available on Steam. And
PlayStation Network and Xbox Live.
Yeah. And the plus side about these is like these guys were saying, you don't have to install an app. It literally is a web-based app you can go to and play the game online, so people can, like you said, not be in the same area, yet just log into the game you started and play it. And that's a good party game. Good call
right.
on that.
You,
that's
theoretically, you could even, maybe, if you were ambitious, even have multiple floors.
I think Travis has done multiple floors before, so that's not ambitious. Travis actually has done that. I know a few his parties where people were playing upstairs and downstairs all in the same game.
Yeah, so and trivia is a really great way to, you know, get people involved. They don't have to, they can, and you know, it's one of those drop-in, drop-out kind of things where you can, you know, oh, I know that one, and, you know, you kind of can, then you can drop off and have a conversation with whatever you do, because, you know, people are socializing, too, you know, and to rope them into a game is sometimes tough, because they want to also socialize and things, so that's probably one of my premieres is...
Those are the first family members you should disown, because they're not... wait,
you guys don't disown your whole family? Oh. Okay.
That being said, this is going to be a horribly distracting Thanksgiving, at least at my house, because the Packers are scheduled to play, and that's just, you know, the NFL just shouldn't do that. I want to play... You Don't Know Jack, and no, I'm going to have the game on.
You are going to have the game on, okay? Just putting that out there right now. All right, but actually, You Don't Know Jack, that's actually a very good one. Travis, there's other games in that pack, aren't there?
So the Jackbox Party Packs one has Fibbage, which is kind of a, like, you
they put it, you can put in fake answers and try to get people to guess them. There's Drawful, which is kind of like a Pictionary type game. There's Live Swatter, which is kind of like a mass, like you can do a lot more players than that one. It's just like, okay, trying to spot the lie. And then obviously You Don't Know Jack, which is kind of like a pop culture, high culture trivia game, which is funny and all that. The second one has some more You Don't Know Jack. They have Quiplash, which is their new game, and I don't know what it's about, but they had a big Kickstarter about it. So, but it like recently came out, and I had, that one's I heard was really good.
But those are good party games. And they're available on Steam. I don't know, are they available on anybody else or just on Steam?
They're available on Android. They're okay. Available on the PlayStation Network. They're available on Xbox Live. I don't know what else.
So get the game. It really is. We've got them. They are a good investment.
And I have one last recommendation. I do. Don't
2 days later.
We all have them laying around. Don't forget about that Wii. It is a fun thing to break out in party game environment. It's designed for that. It's simple controls. It's motion controls. People can get into it. There's a lot of visuals to it. In fact, if you don't have a Wii, go out and buy a Wii so you can have it for the holidays.
$40.
$20.
And then get yourself a copy of Dokkan Kingdom, which costs more than the system.
Yeah. All right, so, Rob, you get to take this out. What is your favorite thing to do when you have the family together?
Well, when I'm not playing.
Stuff in the
forget
turkey.
That one.
I know. Make them play TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do that to you. No. If you know what?
And I'm pretty good at it.
People have a hard time with modern game systems when they're not gamers. There's too many buttons. Too many damn buttons, people. Too many things to click. Overly complicated. Here's what you need. You need to bust out the old Atari. Now, look. Yeah, you can bust out your Atari 2600, but you're going to get all freaking personal and in their crap. Instead, don't get into the crap. Get one of these little flashback systems. It's got a bunch of games built into it. It's got two controllers. And you can play all the classic games on their TV without hosing up their TV. You can usually plug it in the front. And number one, you know, Grandma and Grandpa are going to love it because it's games they've probably actually played at one point and might be able to beat the grandkids. The grandkids love it because it's a video game, duh. And it's kind of historical. And you'll love it because it's an Atari, damn it.
So well, it's as not a real 90s one. Kid, why an Atari flashback over one of the Sega Repro consoles? Or
screw the Sega Repro consoles.
Hey,
it's too
what
much.
About the Kleagle?
There's three goddamn buttons. Grandma can't handle three buttons.
There's a start button. There's a pause button. What about an Intellivision or a ColecoVision flashback?
Both of them have amazingly shitty controllers. I've got them all. What about the
Neo Geo X?
Neo Geo Gold.
It's still
Neo Geo Gold. I got the Neo Geo Gold.
Too much is going on, but you know what? That's a great thing. I mean, I'm not cutting that.
There are several versions of the flashback. Which one should I get?
Well, you should definitely get the 3. The 1 doesn't have enough games.
The 2 is good. The 3 is better.
The 3 is amazingly cheap if you can find it used.
The problem with the 4 was they went to that infrared controller on the 4, and that sucked.
And nothing frustrates Grandma than when she presses a button and nothing happens.
Because she's pointing at the wall.
Just ask Grandpa.
Now, to be fair, I think that's true for all of us. Yeah. When you press a button and nothing happens.
That's very upsetting. Don't get fancy.
That vibrator's supposed to turn on, damn it.
The other great thing about it is you can use these controllers on your old-fangled Atari 2600 if they've broken or been chewed by your cat, really, which happens a lot.
So how many were on the 3? How many games?
60. There's
60
games.
On the 3. You're going to bound to find something somebody likes. So let me see if...
Look at Yar's Revenge.
Oh, Yar's Revenge was probably the best Atari 2600 game.
I don't know. I like Vanguard.
Demon Attack's my favorite. But that was...
Demon Attack, I believe... No, it's not on this one.
I doubt it.
But Combat's on here. And Outlaw's on here, which Outlaw is one of the best two-player games of all time.
Wait, is E.T. on there?
No, it better not be.
You know, I feel like it should be.
No!
They paid all that damn licensing for it.
Is Pac-Man on here?
They didn't get it out of the ground until a year or two ago.
Is
Pac-Man on here?
Let's see.
Okay, so
I'm guessing not because it's licensed.
Pac-Man sucks so badly.
And it's licensed.
Well, I thought, to be honest, I thought it was Atari actual games, like games that were actually exclusively Atari.
And Pac-Man.
It's got backgammon.
You know, Asteroids is on there.
Surprisingly interesting.
Yep.
And you probably have it at your house, but play it on flashback instead.
No, here's the thing about playing on the flashback. Like Rob said, the nice thing is you don't have to worry about the RF interface at all. You can plug it right in the composite on the front of most modern TVs and go. So you can actually bring this to...
Unlike putting it on your table.
Thank you. Bringing this over to some friend's house or some, you know, where you're having a party or some your family's house where they're having a party. Most TVs have an extra input set up for a composite. You can plug this right in and go. There's no screwing around. You're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, play bowling too. I love the bowling.
I like the bowling really too, where you can control the ball all the way to the pits.
Damn straight. Variant.
I gotta find bowling here.
This is the catalog from like, I don't know, probably 80 or something.
This is the Atari bowling image. You can't hear him, but he is talking about the catalog. Wait, let me see that picture.
He's not just throwing that ball.
Oh my god, that ball is huge. He's got huge balls.
It's just the one arm, dude.
Oh my god.
You know what he's been doing.
Yeah.
We're not going to say what.
That is some focused activity right there.
Focused activity with that arm.
Focused activity.
Focused repetitive motion.
Atari games are simple. They're fun. And they're great for multiple players because you can talk crap.
If you can find this catalog, it is great to look through.
Oh, yeah. I've got the other Atari catalog, so we'll have to bring them out.
It's so sexy.
It is.
Just
sexy.
The art. Atari art's some of the best. If you get one of these, have your family thumb through that while they're waiting to play. God, they're amazing. Pele Soccer, which they just call soccer on this.
That's right, but it was Pele Soccer. That's a good point. Pele.
One of my favorite games on there, actually.
Yeah.
Makes me want to play every game.
You go ahead.
Yeah, including Othello, where that creepy looking alien thing is standing behind you. What the hell is that?
Play Othello now!
or the creepy alien is going to kill you. No, it's like, what the hell does that have to do with Othello?
Hey, if you have time and you have not looked at Atari's artwork, look at every bit of Atari artwork.
Their artwork is just like gold. I'm just telling you right now, the artwork is gold.
It's like Happy Conan.
Terrifying. Really terrifying.
Okay, so, Rob, I think that pretty well wraps up this episode of a Turkey Day episode of Guys, Games, and Beer.
So should we say something like...
Happy Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be it.
You know, we could, because actually this episode comes out on Thanksgiving.
We're thankful for you, viewers and listeners.
We really are actually thankful for you, viewers and listeners. You know, you've been with us for over 3 years now, which is kind of scary.
Well, one of you.
I'll go with the one, okay? So one of you has been with us for over 3 years. We've been doing this for
and
quite
God
a while,
bless
and we
newbies.
Are actually thankful for our listeners.
Yeah, we are. By the way, listeners, if you want to visit our website, it's at www.guysgamesandbeer.net, which you can use to communicate to us. It links to pretty much everything Guys, Games, and Beer, like our Facebook page. For God's sake, if you're listening to this podcast, you should be on our Facebook page.
It's holiday season.
Yeah, all sorts of crazy stuff happens on there, like game giveaways. We have a whole lot of, hey, this or that. Do you like... last week it was Missile Command versus Atlantis. It was ColecoVision versus Intellivision.
Missile Command.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Missile
you
Command
bitch.
All the way.
Yeah, you didn't write it. You didn't write it on Facebook.
Because
you knew people would call you an
shit.
A-hole.
You're going to give me shit.
Yeah, so people call you an a-hole. Anyway, there is also...
We twatter all the time.
That's @GuysGamesBeer. Note that there's no and. You want to send Drunk Larry a message? Don't forget. You can ask Drunk Larry @GuysGamesAndBeer.net. Yep. You can ask him a question, and he'll answer it on the air.
Oh, good call. All right. So,
anything else? No.
No. Besides?
Facebook is... Yeah, it tells you to visit on Facebook. www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer.
Free giveaways. Again, guys, if you don't... We give away crap all the time. Go online. Yeah, we do. So, happy Thanksgiving, one and all. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your Turkey Day. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Thank you for watching Guys, Games, and Beer.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving!
Ha ha ha!